Blog Talk Radio.
My Heart radio program, the show where we talk about life's problems that may break or tear our hearts apart. On Reconnect My Heart, we discuss God's answers to life's problems to reconnect our heart back to the way that He originally made us. I am your host, Brother Prater. I'm so glad that you are able to join us. If you have any questions, comments, or if you just want to listen to the program, feel free to call us at 516-453-9118. That's 516-453-9118. You can listen online at www.blogtalkradio. That's blog blogtalk radio radio.com/ Reconnect My Heart. Or you can go into our chat room, which is also on our website. You can ask questions, leave your comments, or if you want to leave a prayer request. Also, I would like to say a huge hello to my church family, True Believers Tabernacle Church, where our pastor is Pastor Otis Logan. If you're ever in the Dallas area, feel free to visit us at 4204 Cardinal Drive, Dallas, Texas, 75216. Feel free to come out and join the worship with us one Sunday. Once again, I thank each and every one who are listening to this program, and thank you all for your continued prayers and support. My question tonight is, are you tired of all the crimes amongst the young people? What can we do to help bring change in our neighborhood, in our communities, in our society? On today's show, we're going to discuss things we can do to help the youth and make changes in our communities in the episode called Stop Killing and Start Building. You know, for those that are in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, there was a crime that happened last week, and it was concerning a 13-year-old girl. 13-year-old girl who was killed, and also there was a 19-year-old boy who was killed. But when I looked at that, a lot of the people that were involved, these were young people. Now, right now, I'm 44, and I consider myself young. But when you look at people who are in their teens, in their early 20s, even in their early 30s, to me, that's young. People that are that age really hadn't grasped life. They hadn't really begun to live yet. Matter of fact, the way I feel within myself, I'm about to start living now. That's the way I feel. But when you look at people who are that age, they're at the age where they can be my children or some people's grandchildren. And it's so much crime that's going on. And we have talked about how the kids, we call them kids, where the kids are young people, how they may have been mischievous or committing crime, but we have easily pointed the problem, but it's time for us to come up with a solution. Let's talk about what we can do to help reach our youth. You know, we have to band together. We have to band together and really just come up with a solution. And first and foremost, that solution is first prayer. We have to pray for them, but also we have to pray for ourselves for the strength, for the courage to be prepared for this task. You know, I remember growing up, I remember, of course, there were crimes that were going on with not just the youth, but even the adults. But now it seems like either things have been magnified or maybe we've become more aware of it. It's so much going on, and if we don't get a grip on trying to make a change now, there's a whole society that will be wiped out. Right now, we are in a generation where they're self-annihilating themselves. They're annihilating themselves. And like I said, we might have sat back and either have done nothing. And my thing is, when I say do nothing, we might have seen the problem, but unless we try to do something to reach out to help, us talking about the people, us talking about the kids, us talking about the youth, us talking about them ain't going to help anything. We've talked about them for too long. It's time for us to start reaching out to them. Find out what's going on. Find out what are their thoughts about life. What are their thoughts? I'm not saying that what they're going to say is going to be correct or it's going to be wrong. But the first thing we have to do is first, along with prayer, because to be honest with you, we can pray. But the thing is, even with the prayer, God expects us to do something. A lot of times we have pushed the responsibility on others. But my question is, who's going to stand up and do something? And for those who have loved ones, for those who care about people, how about we be the one to reach out and try to bring change? Now, those people, those youth, they may be on the streets. They may be in our church. They may be in our family. But we can do something. We can do something to start to try to bring change. Now, what I do want to do, along with this episode, what I want to do, I'm gonna kind of say a few things, and I'm gonna kind of make my speaking a little short because I want to make sure to have enough time for the other callers for whatever solutions that may be upon your heart. But I'm gonna share with you first. I'm gonna share with you some things that were on my heart. The first thing that one of the things that I thought about. Right now, we living in a society where there's a culture. First of all, there's no generational gap. Because when you look at it, even in my upbringing, even in my parents' upbringing, there has been times where a father and a mother did not live in the same home. So we cannot use that no longer as an excuse. There's no generational gap. There's a cultural gap. There's a cultural gap. And so the thing that I saw that really concerned me, we living in a culture where they don't value life, not just the life of other people's, but even the life of their own. There are many people right now, they don't care. It's almost like they have a robot mentality or an animalistic mentality where, you know, if they're gonna shoot me, they're gonna have to shoot me, they're gonna have to just kill me. Nobody appreciate or understand the value of life. Matter of fact, I've seen so many people, so many young people, because those that don't know, I do work in the jail. I work in the county jail in Dallas. And I've ran across so many young people, especially the males. Predominantly, I deal with the males, the young men. And a lot of them just don't care. A lot of them, they feel like they were born without a purpose. They feel like they were born without direction. Some of them feel like they were born as a mistake. They were born with no agenda. It was like they were just placed here just to hold up space. Some of them actually feel that way. I'm not telling you something I'm guessing about. I'm telling you from what I've heard from myself, from so many young people. There have been times where so many young people have spoken to me. And it hurts my heart because, you know, when I look at these kids, 17, 18, 19 years old, I'm saying to myself, I remember when I was that age. I mean, first and foremost, I respected myself. I loved life. I was scared to even cross the street and see a car coming and not move back to the side of the street. Some of these people now, they'll walk in the middle of the street. Even if a car going full-fledged, they'll walk in the middle of the street and they say, well, you know, if I get hit, I just get hit. They don't understand. They don't care. And matter of fact, I spoke to a young man a couple of weeks ago. First of all, when I spoke to him, the first thing he said something to me that always kind of rubbed me the wrong way. And this is just me being honest. I hate for someone to acknowledge me as, what's up, dog, a player, on my N-word, you know, the N-word. I don't respond to that. And this young man came and addressed me as player. What's up, player? Player. Well, something like either player or the N-word, one or the other. He said something like that, and I looked at him, and I could have went off, but God grabbed me and told me that this was a fine opportunity to have a teachable moment to him. And so when I spoke to him, I said, hey, let me talk to you for a minute. I said, how you doing, sir? And I did that, and I spoke to him that way, and I extended my hand. He kind of looked at me crazy. And so when he looked at me crazy, I said, how you doing, sir? Sir, I acknowledged him as sir. And so as I began to talk to him, next thing you know, I was trying to bring some awareness to him that, you know, you are what you answer to. So if someone calls you dog, then you're answering to that dog characteristic, that eat their own bowels or drink out of a toilet, that kind of animalistic behavior. But by me calling him sir and him acknowledging that, I told him, number one, I was respecting him. I was giving him a gentleman's respect, and he responded to it. So I can't help but to give him that gentleman's respect because he answered to it. He responded to it. And so we talked for a little while, and as I began to talk to him, at the end of our conversation, he said, man, I wish there was some more men that were your age that would talk to us that way, just kind of inform us. To let us know, because when he was talking to me, he was kind of letting me know that he pretty much had to raise himself as a young man. He didn't have a man in his life. Most of the young men that are growing up now, they don't have a strong male figure, especially strong male godly figure in their life. You know, when I was growing up, of course, my dad was in my life, even regardless of my mom, dad getting divorced. My father have always been a part of my life. And, you know, he always had that open door invitation, even if I wanted to just call him and talk to him. Matter of fact, I'll say this. Even when my sister and I, he was standing with my sister at one point, and he told my sister that she has a curfew pertaining to her friends, that she can talk to over the phone. She has a curfew that she can talk to her friends on the phone. But when it comes down to family, there is no curfew. So with that being said, so my father have always been a part of my life. But in growing up, I remember being able to see the strong men such as Dr. Martin Luther King and so many others that were, if you want to call them, like our father's age, our parents' age, someone that could be a mentor. Look at how they carried themselves. Look at how they dressed. They dressed where you can't help but to respect them. They had on the nice, fine clothes, suits, nice and star shirt, belts. They carried themselves in a respectful way. But look at the adults now, the adult males, instead of the younger generation looking at the older generation for guidance, for mentoring, even for an example of how to dress, it looks like people or the men that are my age or older, we're trying to dress like the young people. The older people are trying to sag. The older people are not carrying themselves in a respectful way. So now, who are the young people going to look up to as far as for mentoring, teaching, guidance? Who are they going to look up to? Unfortunately, they can't look at a lot of us because we're mimicking them. So what do? They go to social media. They go to the media. They go to the TV, radio, and movies. They look at how we, even as blacks, are being portrayed. They look at how we're being portrayed on TV, and they feel that's the way that we're supposed to be. But that's not the case. So there's a big difference even in the examples that we're setting now. You know, seeing that, and also even when I was mentioning about the crime that happened with that 13-year-old girl, you know, come to find out, it's a lot of people that we knew that were related to them. But also, this is something I found out. Now, that happened on, matter of fact, July the 2nd of 2017, and then they reported her deceased on the 6th of July. But what I found out was on the 4th of July, there were more than 100 people who had got shot in Chicago. more than 100 people in Chicago, and 14 of them were killed. You understand that? Look, in one day, more than 100 shootings, and 14 of them were killed. Even I looked up last year, in Chicago, more than 760 murders last year in Chicago. That's more than New York and LA combined. That's one city. That says something. Right now, there may be some that feel like, well, you know, like I said, we're just going to pray about it and just kind of hide. But to be honest with you, if we don't become more proactive, if it's not your child or your loved one, if we don't do something about it, it could become your child or my child. A lot of times, there are some people don't do anything until it hits home to them. But remember, even if it's not your home that's being affected, it's somebody's home. And even what the Bible asks us, am I my brother's keeper? Yes, you are. We should be concerned about one another. You know, it hurts my heart to have to go to a funeral and see a parent having to bury their child. That bothers me. That bothers me. Like I said, even being up there in the jail, me working up there in the jail, being exposed to so much, and like I said, so many young people, they don't know the importance of life. They don't understand the importance of life. Like I said, the role models, you know, they don't have a mentor. They don't have anyone to talk to them. Most of the people that talk to them, the good people kind of shy away from them. So who they look at? They look at the dope dealers. They look at the pimps. They look at those people who's going to, quote unquote, show them some attention. I'm not going to say love. Show them some attention. And what we have to realize, when a person even involves themselves in that kind of lifestyle, and I'm going to say this, even when you look at a family, when you look at family is supposed to be a nice, a tight bond. There may be some differences, but when it boiled down to it, there's an old saying that said blood was thicker than water. But if we don't do anything about it, what happened if our children or those that we love, if we lose them to drugs or gang, and I'm not talking about death, but if they involve themselves in drugs or in a gang, we have to realize that becomes their family. That becomes their, quote unquote, their life. There can be two family members, but if they're in a rival gang, they will kill themselves. Instead of love for the family, they will look at that gang as a family. They will look at that drug as their family, as their lifeline. So if they get involved in those things, the little kid that we raised, that won't be the same them. The little kid that we might have taken to church or taken to the park, it won't be the same them. Because what's important to them is not you, it's not blood, but it's that drug or it's that gang. So a lot of times they join the gangs. A lot of times they get into drugs because they're looking for something that's missing within them. First and foremost, peace of God, but also love of people, of them receiving love, of them receiving the attention that they desire. You know, right now, there's a lot of family members. They may be in the same home, but when it comes down to watching TV, when it comes down to fellowship, or even when it comes down to eating, they eat in their own rooms. They isolate themselves. It used to be at a time where we would sit at home and watch TV as a family. They called it a family time or prime time television. But now we live in a society where they do not promote unity within the family. They promote division. And so with that being said, with the crimes that are going on right now, with high pregnancy rate going on, my question is, what are we going to do about it? Now, we can befriend them. That would be a great start, to befriend them and to listen to them. You know, they may not look like us. They may not have grew up in the same way that we had. But if we take the step, not for us to wait for them to take the first move, but how about we take the first move? How about we talk to them? How about we talk to them? How about we try to not understand what they in, but understand them? How about we take in the initiative to just do something that they feel like nobody would do? And let's listen to them. Most people, most young people, they feel like nobody care about them. And also realizing, even when we do try to befriend them, you have to understand they may have a big wall up, because a lot of them, they don't trust people. They don't trust the adults. Sometimes they don't even trust church people. A lot of times they don't even know how to talk to people. It's heartbreaking, but they don't even know how to communicate effectively. You know, most of their words, it's scrambling. It's either, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? And, or they may curse every third or fourth word, because nobody actually had taken the time to really just talk to them, mentor them, regardless of their mistakes. You know, they may not graduated high school. They may not had attended school. They may had, dropped out of school for whatever reason. But no matter the reason, wouldn't it be a great opportunity for us to let them know that somebody cares for them? Of course, we can introduce them to Jesus Christ. And hopefully we do that, not just by words, but even our actions. And our action is to demonstrate love to them, show them love, befriend them, take the time out and just listen to them, talk to them. And like I said, use those opportunities as teachable moments to let them know that God has birthed them for a purpose, for a reason. Now, what I want to do, I want to set the opportunity to have the phone lines, and I'm going to go to my first caller. You're welcome to say whatever's on your heart. If you don't want to say anything, just say, I'm just listening to the program, and then I'll go to the next person. Hello, welcome to Reconnect My Heart radio program. You're on the air. Hello? Hello? Okay, I'm going to go to the next call. Hello, welcome to Reconnect My Heart radio program. You're on the air.
I'm just here listening in.
Okay, let me... Oh. Okay, can you hear me? Okay, I'm sorry. Let me go one more time. Hello, welcome to Reconnect My Heart radio program. You're on the air. Hello? Okay. Okay, welcome to Reconnect My Heart radio program. You're on the air. Hello? I apologize for the first caller. I ended up having my speaker inside of my microphone. Hello, welcome to Reconnect My Heart Radio program. Those who want to be on the air at this time, you're welcome to speak at this time. I have all the lines open, whoever wants to speak. Anyone would like to say anything? Okay.
Hello?
Yes.
I was calling to chime in on the topic.
Yes.
I think a lot of what's going on, in my opinion, like you said, social media is raising the boys, and the boys are confusing what's glamorous in comparison to, I guess, popular women's styles. I guess that's why the stylish trend is going more toward boys dressing more like women instead of like young men. They don't see enough of, in my opinion, enough of suits outside of church and funerals. I mean, the business-minded, especially the business-minded black man, doesn't take the time to go back to the communities and spend time with the kids that don't see positive black role models in business suits that go to work 9 to 5 and actually care.
You know, number one, I'm glad you said that. Yesterday, I saw something that really broke my heart. They showed a picture of a young man that was actually wearing some type of dress. I don't know the name of that artist, just some music artist. And if you look at it, they know the young people are influenced by music, musicians, or athletes. So they feel like if they can just plant a seed either to those musicians, those music artists, or the athletes, they know that those young people are going to mimic them. And I don't know a lot of the rap artists' names, but to see these young guys that are men, but they wearing dresses, you know, that didn't happen when I was growing up. Oh, excuse me, I wasn't aware of that. Now, if it was happening, it might have went over my head. But even now, like you were saying about, you know, business attire, dressing, a lot of men, we don't actually show young men how to even respect young ladies. We don't hold the door for them in public. A lot of the older people, instead of trying to be an example, what we'll do, we try to be the young people's friends by showing them, okay, well, how to have a promiscuous lifestyle. How to have sex with so many girls and not get caught, how to cheat on your spouse and stuff. You know, when I'm at work, I hear so much game. I hear the older people trying to teach the younger guys how to get over, how to break into a house without getting caught, how to do all these things, but nothing to feed them spiritually and mentally. Nothing that was going to challenge them. So that, it really hurts my heart, because these young people, they're at the age where they can be at my doorstep, ask for my daughter hand in marriage, or ask for your daughter hand in marriage. So when I think about it like that, it makes me want to get up and get more involved. Because we can raise our children, but if we don't try to help others, they may destroy our children. They may be friend ours and influence ours to become more like them, instead of us befriending them and having them to be influenced by us to help them to become more like us, but ultimately more like Christ.
That I agree. That's absolutely true. I feel in dealing with most of the young black males that I've dealt with, they just don't have that positive role model. They don't have you know, if they do have a dad trying, maybe it's the mother, you know, making the dad. And, you know, we have a lot of deadbeat fathers out there.
Right.
Me, you know, having separate households from my kids. My kids are my everything. And my kids know what to look for. But you have some kids out there that dads aren't getting a chance to even attempt to be in the kids' lives. So
yeah.
It's hard for a young man to say, okay, I know how to open the door or respect the lady if, you know, he's not seeing it or he's not being held accountable. Because I deal with, you know, numerous kids daily. And I get more respect interacting with them in 5 minutes than most teachers and their own parents get daily. So, it's a touchy subject, and that's why, you know, you have, you know, I think most of these kids are lost because, like you said, first of all, they're trying to be their friend, but then they don't have that guidance, that leadership that's, you know, destined and supposed to be in the household.
Mm-hmm. You know, first of all, I do thank you. Thank you for your input and your words of wisdom, you know, and I know you can probably understand when I say this because they probably do the same thing to you. But if you have your children out in public, it's almost like they look at you like you're a unicorn. You know, they're not used to seeing young men, you know, being responsible for their children, spending quality time with their children, interacting, engaging with their children.
That's absolutely true. I mean, but I think with me, even when people do come up to me and say, oh, you know, you're doing a good job, you're a great father, I'm like, yeah, I don't know. You know, all you're seeing is what's on the outside. You're just seeing these few minutes. You're seeing my interactions.
Yeah.
But I think we need to stop just saying, okay, that's all the glory. My glory is when my kids graduate college and have their own successful families, and I can look back and say, you know what, I had something to do with that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I when people say, hey, you're a good father, like, no, I just have great kids.
Yeah.
So, and that's just the way I look at it.
And we do that. We definitely thank you. You know, it does my heart good to see young men, you know, like I said, active and interacting with their children. But also what people don't realize, you know, back in the day, it used to be a routine to see the mothers active only and the father didn't have anything to do with the children or whatever. But now we live in a day and time where there's a lot of single fathers. Matter of fact, I know one that used to work with me, and he had to raise his daughter by himself. He told me that he had to learn how to take care of her as far as detailed things, teaching her how, you know, combing her hair, teaching her even about her cycle and stuff, you know. So he told me some of the struggles that he dealt with, and her mother was not active in her life at all. And so, you know, it makes me thank God that, you know, I did have both parents in my life. And not only that, which, like I said, we know that there might have been some parents who may not have gotten along and, you know, two parents of the child, you know, having their parent on one side of the town and the other one on the other side of town. But even if one parent wasn't active, the parent that was watching the child, let's just say like if it was the mother. If it was the mother and the child didn't have their father in their life, the mother knew, you know what, let me get my brother to help. Let me have your uncle to help you. Let me have your uncle to help me raise you, especially as a boy. If a boy didn't have his father in his life, the mother knew how to, like I said, get the uncle or even get the church involved. And not just, well, you know, he's not listening to me. He don't want to do that. He don't want to do that. So I'm just going to have the church to help. And then once he started doing it, then I get him back. You know, no, you have to understand when it comes down to it, you have to allow that male to help raise your children, and not just because he's not listening to you. And then once he start listening to you or start doing his homework or whatever, then you pull back. No, it's all in or none at all. But you know, the beautiful thing about it, even what the devil meant for evil, God turns it for our good. If you don't mind, if you don't need to go, I'm going to have you on hold and have some room for the other callers. But if you can, just hold on to the other line. What we're going to do, we're going to allow if there's someone else. Wanna... Hello, welcome to Reconnect My Heart. You're on the air. Hello? Okay. Hello, welcome to Reconnect My Heart. You're on the air. Okay. What I'm going to do, I'm going to go back to the call of the young man that has spoken. I have your line open, so just in case you want to chime in, feel free. But, you know, like I said, what the devil meant for evil, God would turn it for our good. You know, a lot of the things that are going on now, this can be a teachable moment to help us to be aware of what we need to do to really help bring change into our communities, into our homes, into our churches. So what we can do, like I said, we can befriend them. We can befriend the young people. And like I said, it's not just the boys, the males, but it's the young ladies too. The young ladies, right now, instead of the older women who may try to mother them, a lot of them, they try to be cougars. It's almost like some of the older young ladies, they feel threatened by the younger ladies, and it's almost like a competition now. Instead of trying to teach the young girls how to be ladies, it's almost like, you know what? Instead of me teaching her or mentoring her, she's a threat to me. I want that young man. But what we need to do is start helping and helping not just the boys, but the young girls, the ladies, you know, to help them to understand their mother either may not have raised them with the proper foundation, or if the mother was ever involved in their life, but we can help them. We can mentor them. We can let them know that they are valuable. They don't have to have sex with a man to let them know that they are valuable. They don't have to look for their worth through some type of relationship. And we can let them know not just that God made them for a purpose, but God made them valuable just the way that they are. Mm-hmm. They can be loved. They can be appreciated. Also, for them to understand what love really is. It don't have to be the physical. It can be just looking in the mirror and understand that when they look in the mirror, they see something beautiful that God created. Oh, you're on the earth, sir? Okay.
Yes, sir, I'm still here. I'm here.
Okay. Like I said, whenever you want to chime in, you're welcome to. We got a few minutes. I found out, I want to apologize to those who have listened to the previous episodes. I didn't know that right at the hour mark, even if I was in the middle of the show, I didn't know that the show actually cut off. But when you go to my archives, you can listen to the whole version of the shows. But what I did, I labeled that the show was going to be 90 minutes, so that way, just in case I went over 60 minutes, that you would hear the whole show in its entirety. But this is actually, I try to say 60 minutes, but if it goes over a little bit, at least you'll hear the entire show. But what we can do, like I said, what we can do, we can start getting involved in our communities. Even what the young man had mentioned, we can get involved in communities. We can start learning our neighbors. You know, when you go to a park, sometimes there's a lot of young people that may be there. Even if we see them, we can just go up there and approach them. You know, sometimes we're the ones that have to, the adults are the ones that have to take the initiative to, you want to say, step out and befriend them. Now, when we were growing up, you know, automatically we respected the older people. That was the way that we were raised. But now we live in a society that those things were not instilled or are not instilled. So since we already know that, instead of waiting for them to do something, how about we take the initiative to do something? You know, just talk to them. Hey, how y'all doing? You know, and show them that there is a better way. They don't have to sell drugs to make money, because it's not going to pay off. They don't have to sell their body to be valuable. Or they don't have to sell their body or make a sex video to be famous. And I'm going to say this is part of the show also. But what I found out is so many shows, like that show World Star, I've never seen so many videos that are out that are promoting and exploiting fighting. Like, that's a good thing. It's almost like it's okay. We look at it as it's okay. When people start fighting, people want to pull out their phones instead of stopping. When people start fighting, they don't even run anymore, because you don't know if this person got a gun, gonna start shooting or what. But now, every time there's an argument, people want to now pull out their phone just to record. And then if somebody getting hurt, they just sit back and start recording, continue to record, instead of saying, you know what, that's enough. You know what, we're not animals, we're people. And as you can see, it's almost like now animals are getting more respect than human beings. So what we can do, I know I said a whole lot, but my emphasis is to let's get our children back. Let's get involved in their lives. Let's take an interest in who they are. And even let's just say they want to be an athlete. Okay, they want to be an athlete. Okay, but it just don't stop there. You can train to be an athlete. But what about as a businessman? Because you can, somebody that's of good height, they may be able to play basketball. They may have the skills to play basketball. But what about life after basketball? Or even while you're playing basketball or have a desire to play basketball, what if you mismanage your money? You won't have anything to show for it. So you have to look at yourself as marketable. Look at yourself as a valuable merchandise. Let them know, even let's just say if somebody want to get into the music field, okay, you as an artist, that's fine and dandy. But how about you learn the business aspect of it? How about you, instead of you hiring musicians to play your music, how about you start learning how to play those instruments yourself? Okay, what about your master recordings? What about learning to produce, learning to arrange? What about those things? So like I said, don't just, whatever they say, just don't let it stop there. How about we stimulate thoughts? How about we raise their standards up? And not just raising our standards, but I'll say this, even help them to raise their vocabulary, helping them to raise their level of communication. Because a lot of time, when most people, when they curse because they don't know how to express themselves or they have limited communication. So that's what we can do. We can do that. We can help. All of us can play a part. Like that old saying, when I was growing up, it takes a village to raise a child. It takes my help, and it also takes your help to help me raise my child, and vice versa. So all of us can do it. All of us can help. All of us can help. We can do something. So we're going to get ready. I'm going to get on the line one last time for those who want to say something. Hello, welcome to Reconnect My Heart Radio program. You're on the air. Would you like to say anything? No? Okay. Go to the next one. Hello, welcome to Reconnect My Heart Radio program. You're on the air. Would you like to say anything? Okay. Okay. What I'm going to do, I'm gonna have you to be my last caller just in case you want to have any parting words. Hello, you there?
All right.
Okay.
Can you hear me? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay. Just reiterating what you pretty much stated. It takes a village, you know. Uncles have to be that role model. Dads have to be that role model. So I agree wholeheartedly with what you were saying. Great topic.
Yeah. Yes, and you know, these kind of topics, it's almost like you could spend a whole series. This is not just like a 1 hour program, and you know, I want to be considerate of people's times, and even if it is this program is just to bring awareness of what we're dealing with in society, we can no longer have our heads in the sand, acting as if as long as it's not happening in my home, everything is okay. Or, well, you know, just wait a couple of days, it'll fix itself. But in actuality, I'm so glad. First of all, I thank you for your call, and I thank those who were listening. And this, even though we're in the Dallas-Fort Worth metroplex, but this goes globally. And this is going on in our neighborhood. And just imagine, even I mentioned about Chicago and New York, but there are other cities around the world. This program is heard all over the world. And even if you're not in those cities that I had mentioned, but just look in your neighborhood, what is going on in your neighborhood? If you don't know where to start, look in your family. Let's start with your family. Look at your own children. Because a lot of times we assume because we're okay and we can teach y'all. You know, I'm gonna say it like this. I'm gonna give you myself as an example, and I'm just gonna be very honest. Now, I thank God for the beautiful words that people share with me, as far as how they may be blessed by what I may say or my post or whatever. But I share custody with my son. And I have him every other weekend. And whenever I have to drop him off on Sundays at 6. The thing that really catches me, I ask myself, God, did I teach him anything while he was in my presence? Did I teach my son anything? First of all, not just verbally, which is important, I'm not knocking that, but what about with my lifestyle? Did I teach him? Did I really utilize the time that I have with him? I ask myself that every time I get ready to drop my son off. And even when I do have him on the weekdays, one of the things I always do, and this is me, this is just me, as daddy, anytime he get ready to leave my presence, regardless if it's during the weekday or weekend, before I release him from my presence, daddy got to pray for him. I have to pray for him. Because regardless if we're in two different homes, and I do thank God for his mother, you know, but no matter what, I feel that he's my responsibility. It's my responsibility to show him what a real man is, show him what manhood is about. Like I said, not just by words, but with actions. And so I ask myself, I ponder upon that often. And I think about this. I don't ever want to be too busy where I'm involved in other people's lives and I miss ministering into my son's life. I take that very seriously. You know, like I said, in my own way, for those that know me, when I get ready to drop him off, after I drop him off, the main thing I do, I go straight to Wendy's and I get me a Caesar size salad. I do that so that way I can kind of minister to myself that, you know, I don't eat junk food. So I do that to kind of help me, and I kind of reflect upon when I had him in my presence. God, did I do something that will honor you for him to see it? Did I do that? I ask myself that many, 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 many times on a Sunday. And even, like I said, when I drop him off on the weekend. And so I want to encourage the fathers who may not be active in their church's life, regardless if they willfully chooses to not be involved, or they may be dealing with an unreasonable mother of a child. I want to encourage those men, don't give up, because your children are dependent upon you to help them. There may be difficulties right now, but I want to tell you, don't quit praying, because the devil want to annihilate, the devil want to cancel out these young people. But you know what? We're going to come together as a family, as a community, as a nation, as people in the world that are concerned. We're going to pray that God come in and help us, number one, to be equipped, helping us to be aware of what we're facing, but most importantly, help us to be aware of where our source and help is coming from. In our own ability, we will fail. But with Christ, all things are possible through Christ. If we believe and trust and obey him, and look at even the most difficult child, the child that may be in the neighborhood that look like he's going wayward or look like he don't care, some of those difficult ones, instead of us running from them, we're going to pray that God set the scene for our path to cross in order for us to take that challenge. Because, you know what? We don't look at it as something impossible. We look at that as an opportunity. And what great way to see God's testimony come through the most difficult person, a child. Sometimes it may not be the child. It may not be the youth. Sometimes it might be us. Sometimes we, as the adults, what if we're not listening to their cry? What if we're not paying attention because of the way that we expect for them to be or to behave? What if they're crying in their own language, but we don't understand, we don't comprehend? We're talking to them in English, but they're talking to us in French. So we shouldn't try to make them speak English when they're speaking French. What we need to do is understand not just English, but understand French, understand their language to help them to understand the right way. So as we get ready to pray, each and every one of us, whatever needs you may have, regardless if it's pertaining to this particular topic or even other issues you may be dealing with in your life. You might have problems with your own child. You might have problems with your grandchildren. There's a lot of grandparents are raising their grandchildren. But whatever situation that you're dealing with, realize that there's nothing too hard for God, and look at it as an opportunity to see God move in our life. Dear Heavenly Father, we're coming to you right now, God. Thank you, Lord, for your awesomeness, God. We're coming to you right now, God. You see the needs and the concern of your people on today, God. God, we're speaking, God, that you touch and you meet every need right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we're speaking, God, that you come in and you intervene right now, God. God, right now the devil is on a rampage. But, Lord, we're speaking, God, that you come in and that you equip us, give us the strength, give us the courage to be bold and be confident, God, in the assignment that you have for us, God. God, help us, God, to turn this world right side up right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for what you're doing, what you're going to do right now. God, we're speaking, God, for their family right now, God, who may be divided right now, God. We're speaking, God, that you come in, God, that you bring peace right now, God, in the feud, God, in the infighting right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, there may be someone that may be sick, God. Touch and heal their body right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we're speaking, God, for those who may be looking for a job. God, we're speaking, God, that you guide them, God, to where they need to be at, God, for employment right now in the name of Jesus. And saying about everything you stand for, about every problem, about every confusion right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity, God, that you have given us, God. God, we thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, when we were sinners, you yet loved us, God. And God, because your grace and your mercy, God, you have given us another opportunity, God, to get it right, God. And God, we ask you to help us, God, to extend that same grace and mercy to others right now, God. God, help us, God, to forgive, God. Help us, God, to be able to lean and trust you in every situation right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we're speaking, God, for those who may not be saved right now, God. Give them that desire, God, to accept you, Lord, as their Lord and Savior, God. And we thank you, Lord. And Lord, we ask you to help them, God, to understand what you did upon a cross, God. God, you say it is finished, God. And God, we ask you, Lord, to help them to understand, God, if they accept you, God, on the finished work that you've already done, God. Let them know, God, that you died for them, God. You died for those who may not fit the proper profile, God, who may be on the outskirts of popularity, God. You died for them right now, God. God, no matter what situation they've been in, God, let them know, God, that there's nothing too hard for you, God, and your grace and your mercy is extended to them, God. They did not go outside of your love right now, God. You're still there right now, God. No matter what their past was, God, let them know that you died for their past right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for everything you've done, everything you're going to do right now. In Jesus' name we pray. We say amen, amen, amen. I want to thank each and every one who tuned in, who called, and who supported this program. Feel free to contact me on Facebook. I'm Brother Prater, Brother, spelled out B-R-O-T-H-E-R, Prater, P-R-A-T as in Tom, E-R. I post daily devotions and videos on my Facebook page, or you can go on my YouTube channel, or you can go on my website at www.brotherprater.org. You will see my daily devotions and upcoming events and personal appearances. Also, you can go on the store section of my website where you can purchase my book, A Few Good Men, A Path to Godly Fatherhood. A Few Good Men was written to applaud the fathers who are taking care of their responsibilities, to educate and challenge those who are not, and to give single women a way to identify the qualities of a potential future husband and or father to present and future children. Once again, I want to thank each and every one of you all who tuned in to this program. I thank you all for listening to Reconnect My Heart radio program. God bless you and good night.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I